Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we gotta see your partner.
Very yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh, no.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
What a way to start Pump Day. Woot. Woot. My favorite song. Ah, I thought that would make her all happy and full of giggly
yes,
joy.
Totally, totally. I love that song. Seriously, I'm going to have to make myself a Miss Pac-Man costume for Halloween.
Oh, my God.
I know. Unfortunately, I think my Halloween's going to be kind of crummy this year, so...
Oh, it's all right, Ginger. It's all right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got dates for you. Remind me to... I'll tell you on Skype.
You know what? She's picking up my bad habits where I start talking about stuff I ain't supposed to be talking about. You're not supposed to pick up the bad habits. Good ones. I'm teaching her bad stuff. I'm sorry, Ginger. Oh, come she Ginger. Yes, she's a Ginger. Yes. Yes. I know. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So what? Look, I'm patting myself like I'm patting you.
Aww.
Okay.
I love you, mine, Corey.
Oh. All right, so I know you guys missed this yesterday. It was completely out of our hands. I live in Houston, Texas, and it's getting to be summer, and something exploded probably around 9 a.m. yesterday, and I was mad. I was calling everybody that had nothing to do with it. You know what? My power's out of you. You're going to fix it. So I finally got the right people. I had to call back and apologize to other folks. Wasn't good. But turns out something exploded, transformer or something. It wasn't on this side this time was what the funny part was. Usually I know exactly where it is because you hear it, which is what threw me. Because I thought it was my computer. I was like, oh, my God, the computer has finally just died. Oh, my God. I kept pushing the button. And then it occurred to me, duh, look around the office, Corey. Do you see anything on? And I was like, oh.
Wow, that would drive me up the wall.
I had that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. Y'all know that when you push the button on your computer, it just does nothing.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, no, no, Frankenstein, no, you can't be dead. And then, yeah, but so good and bad news, but we wanted to be here. Then when I got on Skype, what is with the droid and the Skype? You all don't mesh well together.
I don't know.
I would try to log in, and every time I tried to log in, it kept telling me it had updates, so I'd let it download the updates, and then it would log itself out and log back in and say it had updates again, but it was the same update.
Wow. That's a good way to get a kick in the ass, Skype.
Oh. Yeah. Too late. It's out. Okay. So in case you don't know where you are, you just kind of stumbled across us. This is Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay! It's us. We're back. We were gone for like a whole day. Well, not a whole day. We were here last night.
Yeah. We do gaming news and stuff. You know that stuff.
Yes.
So, without further ado, we should probably jump into some of this lovely news that we have.
We should. We should. And I have got all sorts of different news. But first one I want to do actually was kind of amusing to me, if I can find it. Here we go. CCP's Skyward Sphere program launches EVE Online players to near space. They say thank you. The thank you launch celebrates 9 years of continued growth. A spark of inspiration that led to a dream that manifested into reality with a brave hamster and some serious physics simulations will soon occur on this, our life-giving planet, a historical event that could probably only happen in the magical distant land of Iceland, majestically nestled in the North Atlantic. Today, the award-winning and kind of crazy independent game studio, CCP, makers of EVE Online, will launch the names of all EVE Online subscribers into near space through a program announced at EVE FanFest dubbed Skyward Sphere.
Oh, how nice.
This unique human scientific endeavor has the backing of the internationally famous and morally controversial physicist Hal Sagan, who is overseeing the project's many intricacies with a smug, all-knowing grin. Today at 12 o'clock GMT, Earth time, the team will release a space-age high-altitude balloon just north of CCP's headquarters, which will carry a replica of an Eve pod containing the names of all Eve online players into the stratosphere, as promised at the end of last year. Hal Sagan, wisest of project managers, has partnered with hyper-intellectual students from the University of... Oh, I'm not even going to try to say that name. I'm sorry. University of R. I'm just going to go with that, okay? Who have made a prediction that the payload will return to Earth in the middle of... I'm not even going to try to say that name either. Clifferton Lake?
I tried.
Clife Lake. There we go. Simon will provide a live video feed and GPS tracking via their 3G network and a Samsung Note, which will start shortly before 12 o'clock and should last the whole flight up to 100,000 feet. In addition, there will be 3 high-definition cameras on board to capture the glorious ascent, which will be recovered by the Iceland Coast Guard in a coordinated rescue effort that may or may not include an untrained CCP employee having to jump into a glacial lake in the name of science. Wow.
Y'all worry me.
They say those interested can track the flight progress over Iceland at... Oh, there's a link, but you know what? It's really long. But it's good because I put it up on GameMatrix.com. So head over there and check that out because this sounds like this could be really a lot of fun.
Hmm. Well, those of you in the UK, those of you in the UK will be shocked and appalled and upset to hear this next bit of news. Inside Xbox in the UK has been canceled. Yes, yes. Also, the US cancellation happened yesterday. Larry, I can never say your name. Just call you Major Nelson. Major Nelson, of course, is confirming that Xbox Live, their entertainment to the transition to a third-party content model, also known as the UK version of Inside Xbox, has officially been given the axe, following quickly in the footsteps of its U.S. counterpart, which was canceled last week. According to GI.biz, editor Daniel Marr, who ran the service along with Andy Ferret and Ashley Denton, is quoted as saying, "So to be clear and succinct, Inside Xbox is no more, as are our jobs." Ouch. "Your support during the last 4 years has meant the world to us." These are the UK, the ones in the UK. Hey, we got job openings here, just to let you know. The UK team had been hinting that major decisions were being made about the show behind the scenes, but were unable to confirm the results until Xbox Live rep Larry Herb, also known as Major Nelson, published news on his blog just yesterday. Following the news last week that Inside Xbox in the U.S. was to cease production, the team in Europe has been investigating what makes the most sense for them and the Xbox Live community as they continue to strive to deliver the latest gaming and entertainment news for users across the region. That would be right here at Gamer Girls Radio, Lunchtime with Ginger and Corey, just so you all know. As such, they have decided to move away from the current first-party produced content model and transition to a third-party content model, which will provide timely and locally relevant content to users across more of the EMEA markets. Whilst this means that the Inside Xbox brand will effectively be retired in Europe, the focus remains on continuing to provide the Xbox Live community with the latest and best in games and entertainment news and information. The U.S. cancellation meant... the show, which appeared on both YouTube and on the Xbox dashboard, is also no longer available in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, Mexico, and Japan as well. I'm sorry, actually, Mexico and Japan will continue to produce first-party content for its members via other media outside of the Inside Xbox brand. Did we not say this was not going to work?
Yeah, we did. We totally did. We said, no, sorry, not happening.
It's because you are alienating your gamers. There's too much stuff on the dashboard. Who knows where to go look at stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a gaming console. And I'm telling you, when you come out with a new Xbox, if all this crap is on it, I'm just going to go ahead and become a PlayStation girl and just call it a day.
Yes, yes. And especially since PlayStation, I don't have to pay a fee to play your games online.
Mm-hmm. I will be so out of there, Xbox. I love you guys to death.
Better graphics even, so...
I don't know what's going on with them, what they're trying to do. This is really not the time to be making major changes. I mean, our economy's sucky. I mean, it's getting better, but it's very slowly getting better. And they are making, I think, the same mistake that EA started making, which was to start taking the content and all of the information out of the hands of the players. Remember what I was saying, the big thing that made the system so so amazing and so big is that the community, people, creative people in the community got to contribute. You know, if I like make Sim furniture, I can put up my own site and I can give it away or I can sell it, or EA mm-hmm. would sometimes feature it. And Xbox was the same way. We're very community oriented. We're going to, you know, let people put up their own shows and you know, submit things. And I remember a time when Major Nelson was actually going on podcast, even, you know, the size of ours. You know, just they were very much.
Oh, wow. That would be so cool.
Yeah, that's how we ended up grabbing Morgan Webb. This was when G4 was in its early days, was doing the same thing. That's how we ended up with her so many years ago. So right now, all of them is like everybody got too big, to use a coin of Southern phrase, got too big for their britches. Oh, we don't need to worry about those small people anymore. We're just going to do this. And
you should totally worry about us because we're the ones with the nuts.
We're the nuts. Bad habits. I don't even know what to do. Anyway.
You love it. You know you do. You know you do.
I do. I love my gender. Okay, so as always, when we get more information about this, we'll let you know. So make sure you keep it here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. All right. So I have got another story, and I'm actually pulling this from PopSci. If the person who sent this to me is listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, not naming names. Anyways, Blue Seed, the floating city for startups, has more than 100 firms ready to ship out. This is amazing. And if this ever gets going, somebody hire me. I swear to God, if you don't hire me, I'm into the world as we know it.
Look, wait a minute.
Sorry, they need to hire all of us. They need
wait
to
a minute.
Go.
What are you going to do? Y'all see why?
I love you, Corey.
No,
I love you, Corey.
Over Ginger. I'm picking up my box.
So awesome, though. So awesome. All right. So when startup Blue Seed floated the idea to create a seaborne startup community in international waters off the coast of Northern California, we were intrigued. We weren't the only ones. A new report released by the company says it has 133 tech startups on board to move their operations offshore when the ship launches next year.
Wow.
Yeah. The idea here is to create a startup-only environment in international waters, a place that requires no visa to visit or work, that will draw the best technology minds and ideas from around the world. Daily ferries will move people between Blue Seed's floating base and venture capital-rich Silicon Valley.
How amazing.
Yeah. That means Blue Seed could accept daily commuters, but that startups are also able to permanently set up shop in the floating city, housing employees there as well.
That is amazing.
Yes, the startup-centric culture seems to be a big draw, and upstart technology ventures are lining up to shell out the roughly $1,600 per month it costs for a single occupancy living space.
Wow.
More well-endowed residents can get a top-tier single occupancy cabin for twice that. Blue Seed's floating startup city is slated for launch by third quarter of 2013. All right, so this is awesome, and I'm going to tweet the story so you can go check it out too. And, yeah, then I am going to be looking to find out how I can get hired onto one of these little companies because, wow.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, now you see why I was all like, hire me, somebody hire me.
Not just hire me, but it is an amazing idea. The whole visa thing is what is amazing me.
Yeah,
and
this is
why
like the Google complex, but not inside the U.S. This is an international water. So on one hand, I'm like, oh, yay, no visas. On the other, I'm like, this also means people can do research in international waters that maybe not would be usually allowed within certain countries.
Well, I'm also wondering about laws.
Yeah, yeah. And say somebody steals your stuff in international waters, pirates, all this fun stuff.
Yeah, we can always find the downside, can't we? They should call us and say, okay, we got this good idea. It's amazing. Okay, now, y'all, Game Girls Radio.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? We'll tell you.
All sorts of things. I mean, because how are you going to prosecute somebody? You stole my idea. We're in international waters. Who are you going to cry to? You going to cry to mama?
You know what? I can picture us doing that. Could you just see us, the three of us, and Blaster standing behind us, you know, with his arms folded, looking all mean? And I can see Ginger in the face like, what you going to do? Call your mama? I see you poking him in the chest. What?
Yes.
It's our game now.
Exactly. Exactly.
This could be bad. Oh, y'all might not want to let us on that boat. Okay. Might not be the best idea. All right. Well, got some bad news for you BioShock fans.
No bad news.
Sorry. BioShock Infinite was picked as the most anticipated game of the year by Game Critic Awards at last year's E3, but the game has been delayed until next year and won't even be at E3 this year. Uh-huh. Irrational Games, which has established its reputation as one of the most creative game studios in the industry, and publisher Take-Two Interactive announced today that BioShock Infinite is being delayed until February 26, 2012, which is absolutely horrible, according to VentureBeat, since it is expected to be a cinematic experience that will push the industry toward high art and better sales. The game industry has already been hurting from lack of big titles, and this delay is certainly not helping at all. BioShock took the game industry by storm back in 2007 when it was released by the 2K Boston, now Irrational Games, division of Take-Two. The shooter game was set in an underwater utopia gone wrong, City Called Rapture, and one of the few games that actually scares the hell out of me. It was praised as one of the most original games of its time. The game sold more than 4 million units, generating about $240 million in revenue at retail. Take-Two followed with BioShock 2, a more derivative sequel that debuted back in 2010. Irrational Games' Ken Levine, who's the designer of BioShock, moved on to BioShock Infinite, an extremely ambitious title set in the 1930s-style alternate universe dubbed Columbia, another utopian city which floats in the sky and is the setting for BioShock Infinite. The game was first announced last August and had no release date but was expected to be out this year. It is being built by a team with more than 100 people, and it could help Take-Two diversify beyond its staple of Grand Theft Auto. Michael Patcher, who's an analyst with Wedbush Securities, noted that there won't be any more risk of cannibalization since Take-Two's other big game of the year, GTA 5, is scheduled to be released this October. Levine said in a statement, "When we announced the release of BioShock Infinite in March, we felt pretty good about the timing. Since then, we've uncovered opportunities to make Infinite into something even more extraordinary. Therefore, to give our talented team the time they need to deliver the best Infinite possible, we've decided to move the game release to February of 2013. There are some letters floating around that he's explaining why they've decided to move and why they're holding off. I am not opposed to you holding off at all. The official date is going to be February 26, 2013. Remember, you heard it here first, February 26th. Let me make sure I tweet that for those of you that are listening.
You know, hopefully this means that the game will be well put together. We've had way too many big names released in the past year, that when they were released, they were just about unplayable. So I would rather wait several months and have something, a game that is actually playable and that I'm going to love.
Yeah, that and exactly what they said when I first saw the story. I thought GTA is due out this year. You don't want people to have to choose between two of your games. You want to get them both. So getting GTA in October and then waiting till February, by that time I will be done with GTA. Several times over at that. So that is perfect. If I can, you know what, I haven't even finished the first BioShock, honestly. It scares the hell out of me. It's that damn nurse. You know that, have you played BioShock?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Oh, when you play it, it's the nurse. The nurse just messes with my head. The talking that she does and the running at you with the scalpel just messes with my head. Stop it. Crazy.
She's running at you with a scalpel?
Yes, and she's yelling something about, take your medicine, like a good boy. I was like, oh, I got to stop playing.
I don't want to take my medicine.
Come and take your
medicine. Great, now I'm going to have somebody mix my medicine going through my head.
But it's really great, and I haven't, of course, since I haven't played that, I haven't picked up any of the other little side offshoots of BioShock. But really, if you haven't played them, you got time now. You got till February of next year to get through BioShock and enjoy and be frightened. I suggest playing it in the winter. I like fall. Scary games in the fall, excellent.
You do. You really do. It's kind of interesting.
We've talked about that before, people that are seasonal gamers. I play MMOs and things in the winter, or games that are fearful in the winter. Mm-hmm. Games like racing games and not just GTA, but any game that's kind of light where I don't have to put a whole lot of energy into, I play this summer because it's too hot to be...
No kidding.
I
never thought about that, but that could be the main reason right there, because it is way, way too flippin' hot.
Yes, because I was trying to play Rock Band the other day, and I was just singing, and it was like, is it hot in here to anybody else?
Wow.
Right. Y'all stop standing close to me. Move over there and sing. Go.
Move over there.
I can't see the screen. That is not my problem. Stand over there. and you on you back. Get away from me with the guitar. It's hot. Go. And it's not even summer fully yet. Oh. All right.
All right. I am loving pulling some stories from PopSci recently. So using the Microsoft Kinect to detect autism. There are 5 Microsoft Kinects set up all around the University of Minnesota's Institute of Child Development, but they're not for playing games or any of the other stuff the Kinect can do with an Xbox. They are monitoring the students, looking for signs of unusual behavior that might indicate a potential autism spectrum disorder. Autism spectrum disorder, or ASD, a range of conditions that fall under the broad term of autism, can be difficult to diagnose. Many behaviors, especially in small children, are subtle, little tweaks of behavior that are just not different enough from the norm to warrant a closer look. Following the clues is a time-consuming and slow process. It takes hours upon hours upon hours of observation, and not everyone can afford a trained specialist or MRI test to do that for their child.
Very true.
That can mean undiagnosed and thus untreated children. The Kinects are set up in the Institute of Child Development to track the individual children by size and color of their clothing and can monitor about 10 children at a time. Software takes the raw visual data from the Kinects and runs it through an algorithm to look for possible markers of ASD, like an unusually hyperactive or unusually quiet and calm child. It's not designed to replace specialists. It can't really track some telltale signs of ASD, like a failure to make eye contact, but it could be an incredibly cost-effective early heads-up system, making sure that everyone can afford early diagnostics.
Wow.
Interesting. So see, more gaming potential being put to good use.
See, Molly's trying to scare me. Don't talk about them splicers while we're on air, man. Yes, and BioShock, scary to me. Stop. No.
All right, well, that one is short, so can I do another one?
Of course, darling. You don't have to ask. Just go.
All right. There are going to be some ticked off people when Diablo 3 launches. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. There's going to be a 40-second delay that may be added to login time at Diablo 3 launch. Just 40 seconds, people. Just calm down. Breathe. Blizzard may have to trigger delays of up to 40 seconds when users log in to Battle.net to play Diablo 3 at launch on or around May 15th. Those that fail to log in will get an error 37 message, which may confuse them, but they should simply try to log in again. It's possible we'll need to adjust the rate at which we're logging people in to ensure a stable experience, and if we do, you may see a delay when attempting to log in, warns Blizzard warned customers. Please be aware that a delay of up to 40 seconds is possible while the game attempts to connect you. If your connection doesn't succeed in 40 seconds, you'll be presented with an error 37 message and asked to try again. The company is recommending that future Diablo 3 players create their battle tags in advance of the game's launch if they haven't already done so to avoid delays in playing. In other words, they expect servers to be bum-rushed on launch, and yes, it is already up on the battle.net. I've seen it. I was wondering what that was. That makes better sense now. On error 37, Blizzard says not to worry too much about it. If you see this error, it does in fact mean that you should try again. We'll be working around the clock to keep you informed of any issues that are occurring through the in-game breaking news window, as well as the official forums. Blizzard also says that global play won't be available until the PC exclusive launches in the United States, 12:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on May 15th. They say we will provide an update once global play is enabled, and you'll then be able to change the region you connect to through the game's options. Please note that characters, items, and friends lists do not transfer across regions, and players who use global play to connect outside of their home region will only be able to access the gold-based auction house. They say the reason of all this problematic is because the game requires players to be logged in order to play even in single player. See, big downfall. When login problems occur or servers go down, this effectively stops everyone from playing a game that requires a constant connection. And this is why we've been saying that this sucks.
This is true. Hello?
Hello? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, did you go away bye-bye?
No. I'm still here.
Okay, you stopped talking. I was like, what happened?
Oh, that's my voice, so I don't lose it.
Aww.
I know, right?
Okay, well, seeing as Ginger and I are double posting here. because we just both faced the same story. I was like, why do I have two of those? I just deleted yours by accident. Okay. Why do I got two? Okay, so intense gravity pulls in my... How do you say this freaking game? Maestia? Yeah, I'll be contacting you guys later.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, Gravity Interactive, who are calling themselves a publisher of exciting MMORPGs, announced their newest addition to their popular Warp portal, Maestia Rise of Kaletus. You know what? Stop it. It's going to arrive next summer either way, even if you can't pronounce it. You can get your first taste of Maestia on the official teaser website and see the first screens and art of the game. You can pop over to their site or ours, playmaestia.com, or you can check ours. We just put that up like 2 seconds ago. Developed by ROC Works, an online and mobile game development company, Maestia Rise of the Kaletus. Stop it. Is a fully-fledged fantasy MMORPG that is free to download and play. Following a captivating storyline and launch headfirst into the eternal struggle for power and righteousness in a world where friends and enemies are not easily discernible, join other players and parties to challenge instance dungeons? No. Mm-mm. Or band together or guilds for small and large-scale faction battles. Adventure in an ever-growing world filled with quests, crafting, an advanced mercenary system, and more. Ride epic mounts determined by your class, take on massive world bosses designed to challenge a full party of players, and craft the strongest weapons and armor. All of this is brought to life in a fantastical world filled with lush art style, showing both the dark...
Fantastical world.
Yes, showing lush art style, showing both the dark and light side of the world thrown into deep conflict that must be survived before it can be resolved. Again, you can pop over to our website and check out the screenshots. If you are interested in playing, if you like instance dungeons, I prefer not to do instance dungeons. I know all dungeons are instance anyway, especially if you're in a group. But I kind of like when I run in somewhere and it's four or five people and we got to fight over it. I was never a fan of that in City of Heroes. Never, ever, ever. I like the running into other people and saying, I'm going to cut you because you touch my whatever it was. Yeah, and being able to cut them would be nice, people.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for
Salem. Reminds me of playing Dark Age of Camelot in my whole little, let me in. No, 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 wait. Let me out.
I cannot wait for Salem.
Oh, Salem. God, yes. I need a good MMO. I've been playing Aeon. I've been playing WoW. Of course, you know, I still play Second Life. I want a good MMO. I want one.
Permadeath, please be good.
Speaking of, I wanted to ask you, do we have an account for Minecraft? Because I might want to play.
We do not. We do not bother them. Sometimes we forget to ask the indie developers for things, but we might.
I may harass them later and be all like, can I have a code?
Yes.
All right, so Mojang on possible Minecraft subscriptions boycotting E3. That's why I was thinking about this. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. A recent interview with Mojang's chief executive, Carl Manet, on IT24, translated by, I don't care about that, reveals that the Minecraft maker is seriously considering a subscription model for its popular world-building game and why it decided to boycott the E3 in Los Angeles this summer. Manet said in the interview that he thinks that Minecraft's popularity has not yet waned, and with 6 million people still playing, it's hard to argue that fact. Mojang chief executive Carl Manet, I'm probably saying your name wrong, my bad, says, I don't think the Minecraft wave is over by a long shot, but the market will be saturated eventually. Since Minecraft is a game you pay for once and then always have access to, no matter how many updates and changes we release, we have to look at new ways to make money in the long run. On the subject of boycotting E3, Manet says that the company came to that decision because of the Entertainment Software Association's decision to strongly support the Stop Online Piracy Act, SOPA.
I forgot about that. I did.
Yeah. The support of the bill that was inevitably defeated by large-scale protests against lawmakers and the companies that supported it rubbed the Swedish developer the wrong way. The organization behind the convention supports the SOPA initiative in the U.S. We are against it and have no wish to support those who support SOPA. It's as simple as that. So we're not going. Way to make a stand. I like that.
Well.
In January of this year, the ESA dialed back its strong support of SOPA and PIPA, instead calling on all involved to work out some sort of compromise that balanced the interests of stakeholders, copyright owners, and technology firms. Of course, by the time it did that, the bill was as good as dead. What was said, the ESA said in a press statement in January, we call upon Congress, the Obama administration, and stakeholders to refocus their energies on producing a solution that effectively balances both creative and technology interests. As an industry of innovators and creators, we understand the importance of both technological innovation and content protection and are committed to working with all parties to encourage a balanced solution. They say on a related note, Mojang and Microsoft launched Minecraft on Xbox Live Arcade later this week. Yay!
I say go, 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 go.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to E3, so...
I am debating even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that they reminded me, because I think we were saying we were going to, yeah, we may have to drop you guys. Sorry.
Yeah, but there's that. I mean, I understand that as journalists, especially video game journalists, we need to be there on the front lines, but now the front lines are supporting something that I would rather not support. Screw you, SOPA, go die in a fire.
Well, not just that. As journalists, sometimes we have to... take a stand as well. That's why you have some people that are even journalists that say, you know, this is not right. I'm going to report on the wrongs of it. So we may just be doing a page blackout where it says, this is where your E3 news would be.
Then all those who support it, I have bleach cocktails. Come visit me later.
Ooh, that sounds like a hot ginger.
A little bit.
A hot.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Ginger, a hot. All right.
We don't support these things.
This is true. All right. Some of you are leveling up on you some zombies every day. We understand. Well, you'll be happy to know Zombie Burst is coming to the App Store for the iPhone. That's right. Brains Burst, Swipe Goo, and try to make it out of it alive. You can join the fight against the undead. After a water contamination turned 99% of all humankind into pimple-headed zombies. Cat Foster Media, who's a publisher of the innovative, of some of the most innovating gaming apps out for mobile and tablet devices, has put a unique spin on the ever-thrilling zombie hunt with Zombie Burst, an entertaining level-up app that puts you in the shoes of being the only human being on Earth left that's strong enough to destroy the persistent and deadly zombies. Zombie Burst will be available for the iPhone in the App Store later this month and will launch on other platforms in the coming months. In Zombie Burst, you'll find yourself, of course, the sole survivor of a vicious zombie infection. You must use your freakishly strong hands against that could be taken all kinds of wrong, against ruthless biting zombies by popping their pimple-like heads with your fingers in order to burst your brain and fight your way out of Chicago. With 10 horrifying levels to play through, you can burst countless brains and keep your vision clear of gooey brain remnants in order to unlock achievements. You score points and see if you have what it takes to own the leaderboard in this frightfully fun adventure. You can beware of the zombie bite. The poisonous blows determine your fate. Yeah. Okay, so you have four. why am I liking this? And I usually don't like these when the games get really crude. I'm one of those ones that's like, ew. But I actually want to play this. But let me tell you the zombie classifications that you got here. Okay, so you got four zombie classifications. The P-Head, Brains, Gallon, and Dome. Each has its own unique strengths and characteristics that make it difficult to catch and kill. It's supposed to be full of goo for those of you who like your games disgusting. Every bursting brain splatters goo on the screen, making it increasingly harder to see the enemies. You have to be quick to clean the screen or suffer deadly bites, so I'm guessing you probably have to wipe the screen down. You've got 10 levels to destroy thousands of zombies through, unlockable levels as well. Each is set in environments inspired by real Chicago locations and landmarks, from a dismal bathroom and the monumental movie theater to a glowing gas station and the legendary Lower Wacker Drive. For those of you in Chicago, probably know what that is. Also, you're competing against others. You become the ultimate zombie destroyer, and you can track your achievements on Game Center. You have an iPad. You know what that is. You can increase your standing as you replay unlocked levels. You also have bonus content they're going to be releasing, which help keep the zombie battle fresh. With new
fresh
levels.
Zombies! Nom, nom, nom.
So you get new characters, new levels, new in-game content released through updates, they're saying, after launch. Now, the amazing thing about this is it's only going to be 99 cents. Yeah.
Yay.
So for additional information, you can pop by our site, GameMatrix.com, check out the links that they have there, and go take a look at their Facebook and so on and so forth. We also will have a trailer for you in about, 10 seconds maybe?
In about.
Did I say it very
Canadian? Yeah.
I gotta stop hanging out with you Canadian peoples, man. You all are.
I know, right?
corrupting me or something. Jeez. Well, I have to be like y'all.
But they got maple candy. Nom, nom, nom.
I've never had it, so I don't know what I'm missing.
Neither have I. Neither have I. I'm a little upset. Anybody out there who is Canukian? y'all want to send me some maple candy? That'd be nice.
Word.
Mm-hmm. All right. Reddit co-founder won't invest in Facebook because of its CISPA support.
Oh, it's ugly. It's ugly.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, it is. Facebook is beginning to drum up interest among the investor class for its initial public offering, which could raise between $9.4 billion and $11.8 billion for the company. But because of its public support for CISPA, one high-profile investor says that he is not going to touch Facebook stock, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. In an interview with CNN, Ohanian said that he plans to hold off on any investment in Facebook due to its support of CISPA. He did concede that he understood the business value of what Facebook is doing. Ohanian says, "We've never seen a company like this before, ever. It knows things about our private lives that no one else does, and one of the big issues a lot of us in the tech community has had with Facebook as of late has been the support of bills like CISPA." Ohanian went on to emphasize the fact that if CISPA is passed, it will make it very easy for companies like Facebook to hand over private information to the government without any due process.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So he says, so that's why I'm going to hold off.
The moral of the story is get your Google Plus in order, people, because that's where we're all going.
Yeah, I need to do that. I've got one. People come over and play with me. It's so lonely.
I'm over.
Well, it's like you and me against the whole world. There's like nobody else out there.
Oh, wait. That is not Felicia Day is on, okay?
All right, Felicia. Oh, man, Felicia.
Ginger May.
Felicia.
You blaspheme.
Felicia.
You
Anyways,
you blasphemed, girl. You blasphemed.
She's so hot. I would so have her babies.
Ginger May.
What?
You hear that, Felicia? Forgive her, Felicia, for she knows not what she says.
I went over to her Twitter the other day and said that.
Whatever, babe. You know, way to creep out our fellow gamer girls.
I know, right? I know. It was so great.
I'm like, okay.
I was so sad. Felicia.
You know, I could just see her face going, okay, while she's looking at her phone somewhere. This chick is crazy. Oh, my God. Who is this? I have my babies.
Felicia. I love you, Felicia. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Felicia, run, girl, run. Don't let her catch you. Run.
Run. I'll find you.
Run, girl, hide. Don't let her get you. Mm-mm.
Wedding Crashers. Man, I got to watch that again.
All right. It's my turn, you theft.
Oh, is it your turn?
You Felicia Day baby having thief.
My bad.
It'd be my turn. Okay, so, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog is saying he is too cool for school. Well, actually not him. It's his company, Sega. Well, the publisher is planning to not make any appearances at German gaming event Gamescom this year. I think I spelled it all wrong on Twitter. Forgive me, Gamescom. Sonic publisher Sega has confirmed it will not have a booth at this year's Gamescom event in Germany. Gamescom is Europe's biggest consumer and trade show for video games, but Sega said that it has said that its 2012 releases will not benefit from a presence at the August event. Sega has made the decision not to attend Gamescom this year. Gamescom this year, said the company in a statement. Gamescom 2011 was a very successful show for us and continues to be the most important European event in the calendar. Unfortunately, the release timing of our 2012 AAA titles and new projects don't work with the mid-August scheduling of the show. According to GI.biz, the decision will not mean that Sega will never attend Gamescom in the future. This was simply a commercial decision made for 2012. Last week, Sega announced that European and U.S. CEO Mike Hayes is going to leave the company this summer as well.
Ooh.
Do you want me to do another one? Because I got some interesting stuff going on about the Michael's phone.
Well, if you want to, go ahead.
Okay.
What you got?
Okay, so you heard about the Windows Phone, the new campaign they've got going called Smoked by Windows?
No.
Okay, it is a campaign in which the consumers battle their smartphones against Windows smartphones in various speed contests. It has been a smashing success for Microsoft. They're failing at Xbox, but they're excelling at the Windows phone. The success has come at the cost of generating over 100 million consumer impressions across a variety of media. The numbers come from Microsoft evangelist Ben Rudolph, also known as Ben the PC Guy, who has been spearheading the campaign. It's a good sign for Microsoft, which received a lot of flack for the recent incident in which one Android user was reportedly cheated out of the contest by MS Store employees. Rudolph has since apologized to that user and offered up a free laptop and a Windows phone. Ooh, why couldn't that be me? Other highlights of the Smoked by Windows Phone campaign are over 50,000 smartphones tried to take on Windows phones, and Microsoft's platform won over 98% of the challenges. The campaign's YouTube videos have generated over 8 million views on YouTube, and they also appear in two of YouTube's top five lists. Microsoft launched a contest at the CES show back in January in an effort to show how much faster Windows phones can perform certain tasks. It has since evolved into a larger marketing campaign to show up its smartphone rivals. Microsoft initially offered a $100 prize to potential winners, but as of this weekend, it has ramped up the prize to a laptop worth $1,000. Losers also have the option of getting a free Windows phone, so it's a win-win for you. While Smoked by Windows Phone certainly helped to get the word out about the mobile platform, it is evident from the beginning that Microsoft had a distinct advantage in many of the tests. They often took advantage of key Windows Phone's features like the camera button and live titles and didn't give competing customers much of a warning to prepare their phones for the contest. Ultimately, there was always something gimmicky and circus-like about the contest that apparently rubbed the writer over at VentureBeat the wrong way. That would be Sean.
Circus-like.
Yes. While it may have generated more consumer awareness of the Windows Phone, it's tough to tell just what people think of the platform now. They'll certainly not be buying Windows Phone en masse, despite the Lumia 900 being one hell of a deal. I will tell you why, because it's on AT&T. Windows phones, get your butts off of AT&T. And as Apple as well. I would probably not have an issue with owning either of these phones if you were not at AT&T, honestly. That's why I don't own one. I prefer my Droid. For the number one reason is it's not at AT&T. Two, I don't do contracts, period.
Yeah.
But even AT&T's pay-as-you-go plan is way overpriced. $2.99 for 200 texts. And I know some people are out there like, what? Yeah, you send 200 texts in a matter of minutes. You'd be done. I'm done for the month. I got to pay again. AT&T, just stop it. And they don't. They not only do they have terrible customer service.
They do, and that's why I left them. I was like, screw you, AT&T.
They're not good to their customers. I had been with them. You all have listened to our show before. I've been with them through four incarnations, from Houston Cellular to Singular Wireless. No, sorry, Houston Cellular to Primeco to Singular Wireless to AT&T. And I should be what you call a premium VIP customer. I should be getting a free phone every year.
Exactly. I followed y'all for years.
And what I get was, I'm sorry, you now have to pay $2.99, or 10 cents per text, because I used to get them free, you know, when people were first starting to text, because I was texting a long time. Emails, all that good business, I was sending back and forth, and then once they realized they had a market, they started charging me for it. But I'm sorry, if I was there before, you should have said, you know what, you're a VIP, you get to go for it. My free weekends and nights disappeared, just everything. AT&T, you're horrible. We hate you.
I don't know.
I don't have an iPhone right there. I would get the iPhone.
I left my iPhone not only because it was utter crap, but because I had no reception in parts of my house.
This is true.
It just drove me nuts. I mean, all right, okay, even with my wonderful little phone I have now, which I love so much, my Xperia Play, I still have, you know, internet issues depending on where I'm at, but I always, always have my cell service.
That's right.
I can always use my phone, no matter where I'm at.
That's right.
AT&T with my iPhone, it's just depending. The wind blew the wrong direction. A cloud went over. I don't know what the hell. I could be in town walking through a store and lose reception. And I wouldn't have phone service or internet.
And you have no idea why.
Exactly. And they wanted to charge me more and give me a crappy phone? No. Nuh-uh. Screw you. No. All right, so I'm going to move this on. I actually like these stories where gaming's turned for good. GamePolitics.com, active play video games may benefit children with cerebral palsy.
Oh, nice.
Children, yeah. Children with cerebral palsy can greatly benefit from playing active play video games as opposed to the kind that don't require any kind of physical activity. According to researchers from Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation Hospital and the University of Toronto, children with CP that play traditional games face an even greater risk of being overweight or developing health issues such as diabetes or musculoskeletal disorders. Oh boy, people, words. But researchers say that video games such as those found on Nintendo's Wii can provide an opportunity to promote light to moderate physical activity in children with CP. It may even be a role. It may even have a role to play in rehabilitation therapy. Their research was published online today in the Archives of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. Lead investigator Elaine Bittis, PhD of Toronto's Bloorview Research Institute at Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation Hospital and the University of Toronto in Canada, oh my god, long title, says active video games, AVG, provide a low-cost, commercially available system that can be strategically selected to address specific therapeutical goals. While our results do not show the AVG gameplay that can be regarded as a replacement for more vigorous physical activity or muscle strengthening, we found that some games may provide targeted therapy focused on specific joints or movements. The researchers chose 17 children with CP and studied them while they played four active video games on the Wii, Wii Bowling, Tennis, Boxing, and Dance Dance Revolution. That game is no joke. All the participants' data about energy, motion, and muscle activity data was collected, followed by a survey that all the participants filled out. The survey gauged the children's level of enjoyment playing the games. Research, oh my god, I scrolled.
Never scroll.
Researchers evaluated things like the intensity of activity, the therapeutic potential of the games, and other practical considerations surrounding the use of active video games for promoting exercise. They came to the conclusion that children with mild CP can get moderate levels of physical activity during video game play, with the kind of games that require full-body movement, such as Wii Boxing and DDR, but the activities in those games were not deemed vigorous enough to build endurance or strength. Researchers did find that active video games encourage repetitive movement and can provide feedback to the user through on-screen avatars and game scores, which has the potential to promote neuroplastic change. Dr. Bittis noted that games like Wii Boxing may be an effective motivational environment for encouraging increased movement speed or the hemiplegic limb, in addition to the bilateral use of the limbs, because in-game success is strongly linked to those two metrics. He goes on to say that the active video games are not a replacement for traditional therapy methods and should never be considered so, and that there are many opportunities for further research on this particular subject. He believes that future advancements in game technology may usher in a new age in physical rehabilitation where virtual environments provide an arena for neuroplastic change in the comfort of one's home. This is awesome. See, I love this. Games are not all evil. They're not all bad.
They are too evil.
And look, these kids are playing games, and they're not turning violent. Oh, my God. It's unheard of.
Oh.
Call the press. Oh, wait, we're already here.
Ginger?
Yes?
You are raw today. What are we going to do with you?
I don't know, but you love it. You love it. You know you do.
Just raw and evil. Just yeah.
You love it.
They're going to call us, start calling us shock journalists or shock shocks, like they call Howard Stern, because we're always controversy. Well, I'm going to mention this in passing because, you know, whatever, Rovio, Angry Birds, 1 billion downloads. Yay for you. But that's not the big news. Big news is EA's stock. I knew I should have sold it when I had the chance. It is the lowest it's been since 1999. But analysts are saying keep your faith in digital. Webbush and Cohen believe digital business will carry EA to a far greater success than it has before. EA's stock price has fallen to its lowest point, again, since 1999, amidst concerns over future earnings and the player retention of its flagship MMO, The Old Republic. The company closed the day's trading on, is trading closed yet? It's not. Well, maybe they're talking about yesterday. The close, I guess I'm going to say yesterday, at $14.48 a share. Yeah, that was yesterday, which is a far cry from the $60 highs of 2005, which is when I bought some. Good God. And its lowest price, of course, in almost 13 years. In its recent financial results, EA showed year-on-year gross revenue, but projected a dip for fiscal 2013. In addition, it revealed that the Old Republic now has 1.3 million subscribers, which is significantly lower than the 1.7 claimed by John Riziello back in March. However, analysts from Cohen and Company believe that the negativity around EA has become significantly overdone. Really? And expects the company's stock to outperform.
Done. We're not even close to being done yet.
They expects the company's stock to outperform the market by 25% over the next 12 months. Nevertheless, Cohen expects the Old Republic's sub base to decline to just 1 million players by March of next year. Both Cohen and fellow analyst Webb Bush attribute the concern around EA's revenue guidance to earlier, higher estimates from the company's management. Despite the Old Republic's disappointing performance, both analysts remain positive on EA's future, largely due to its strong, growing digital business. Webb Bush has put out a statement that read, "We believe EA represents the best opportunity for investors to benefit from continued digital growth for the industry next year, as well as the likely rebound in packaged goods sales next year. Therefore, we recommend that investors continue to accumulate shares of EA while they trade at a significant discount to our price target. Good God. Do I need to just dump it? EA has suffered from management credibility problems in the past. Yes, they do. And the reverse
credibility problems.
I like
That's
how they put
nice.
That.
Nice. That's so nice.
The reversal on revenue guidance will likely disillusion many investors. However, this time we think that they are legitimately on track and think that the company is positioned to deliver the kind of revenue and profit growth that will finally propel its shares significantly higher. The thing is, management credibility problems. Why is it that people, when you're at work, you don't realize that what you do affects every other part of your business? If your management is not nice, every part of your management, not just the financial people, if you're not nice to the people that actually put you in front of the people that buy your things, namely us, and we're not the only ones that have been mistreated by EA. Pretty much everybody we've talked to, when we guest on other people's podcasts, everybody says the same thing. EA is terrible. They only want to give stuff to one or two sites, and those two sites are not doing well at present because people are starting to not go to them. What do you think happens? You started becoming elitist. Remember what I said earlier? I don't want to deal with those small people anymore. when you start thinking that way, you start not thinking the way you should.
Exactly. Exactly.
You want everybody's money, so you go everywhere. Just saying, EA, y'all better step it up because I own some stock. I'm going to dump it like I dumped the trash this morning if y'all don't hurry up and get it back up high.
Well, CCP is out trying to get everybody's money any way they can.
Go, CCP, go.
Yeah, CCP offers UK players a currency alternative for EVE subscriptions.
Ooh.
CCP Games announced some good news for EVE Online players in the United Kingdom. UK players will be able to pay £9.99 Linden's Franks, whatever the little L sign is, for their monthly EVE Online subscriptions in pounds sterling.
Wow, nice.
Uh-huh. The alternate payment method was introduced, they say, to accommodate requests by the UK community to pay in British pounds rather than in euros. This means that the UK customers are saving about 20% on the price of their EVE subscriptions. The change in payment methods is the result of a recent EVE Online meetup in London where members of the development team listened to the concerns of its UK players in attendance. See, this is good. You listened. You didn't call them sheep. On a related note, you're never going to let you forget that. On a related note, the next major expansion for the game, EVE Online Inferno, will be released to all paid and trial subscribers May 22nd. For more on this topic, check out the EVE Online developer blog. EVE Online currently has more than 400,000 global subscribers playing in the same universe, according to CCP Games. Yeah. I know. I've got some friends from Second Life who are actually trying to get me to go play EVE.
Well, we have an account, so if you want to go,
you do? Yeah. I want to go be a troll. That one is short. Can I do another one?
Yes, you can. But we must hurry because I have one.
Alien Farm!
Ooh.
Yeah. Revenge Zombies to Take Your Earth Back.
Give us back our Earth.
Okay. A4 Co. Ltd., a developer and publisher of innovative social games, has just released Alien Farm, available on the iTunes App Store for only 99 cents USD. This game combines farm-themed gameplay with multiplayer battle systems into an amazing new style of game. For the celebration of the first title from A4, the download campaign is held until May 17th, and you'll get three special alien characters for a limited time. Only once for a limited time, only once. Download the game on the iTunes. Once you download the game on the iTunes App Store. My bad, this is not translated very well. Bear with me. Alright, so, Alien Farm lets players create a farm, decorate it with all kinds of unique and colorful decor, and grow plants and aliens for coins and various items after players challenge a boss and zombie goons at quests. Players also need to fight other players to increase their alien level to complete quests. Alright, so, we've got three types of aliens, each of their own strengths. It goes on Facebook, so your friends can know what kind of aliens you're killing, though they may not understand if it's translated like this. There's a co-op, so you can help your friends release their farm occupied by other players. And you can place friends' farms on the field instead of visiting. Daily bonus, play 7 straight days to get higher rewards. All right, so this is on the App Store right now. It's 99 cents. I do warn you that if the game is translated anything like this press release, you may get a little bit frustrated. So, just fair warning.
Uh-oh.
Alien Farm, iTunes. Screw you, Apple.
Wow, there's another good story. Zynga is doing some real-time stuff with a game called Bubble something or other. Well, I'm not telling you about that one. I'm actually going to tell you about this one because it involves getting a free game, and I know how you all loves you some free. Well, in case you didn't know, it is the 20th anniversary of Castle Wolfenstein, however it is that you say it, because everybody says it different. I always get picked on when I say it, however somebody else doesn't say it.
Wolfenstein. I've always said Wolfenstein.
I say Wolfenstein. I change it up. But anyway, they are marking their 20th anniversary of the Wolfenstein 3D original, which is supposed to be one of the most legendary games ever, or one of the most legendary first-person shooters, and they're doing this by releasing a free-to-play browser version of the game. You can play the classic PC game directly in a browser over at wolfenstein.bestsoft.com or on their Facebook page, Wolfenstein. So, you know what? You guys over there at Bethesda, let us know how to pronounce it so I can put this to bed once and for all. While you're on the site, they want you to check out a podcast featuring Mr. John Carmack, yes, the technical director of id Software, as he shares his insights into the creation and development of Wolfenstein 3D while playing the game. They are also doing something else that you're going to love. Later today, they will be offering Wolfenstein 3D Classic Platinum available to those of you who have an iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch 3. F-R-E-E free for a limited time. I just put the link up. Make sure you go and grab it. That link takes you straight to the iTunes store, and you can download it and play. Enjoy.
Yay!
And, well, we got 2 minutes left, but we're not going to push it today.
Because
we'll get into a story and have to go. But that Zynga Bubble Safari thing, something is supposed to be synchronous play, competitive, real time. So you can go over and check that out at Zynga.com. And we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Remember, you get us twice tomorrow.
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
It's always good when you get got twice.
You know what? We are such a bad influence on our sister. I mean, really bad.
Oh, you love it. You love it. You know you do.
Oh, you didn't think you'd get away with not getting that on Hump Day. See you guys tomorrow. Remember, GamerGhostRadio.com, GamerNatrix.com, and as always, we are here on Blog Talk 24/7 if you miss us. And tweet us anytime. See you guys tomorrow.
As he faded away, don't put your life in someone's hands. They're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, if you wanna get out alive, go run for your life. If you wanna get out alive, go run for your life.
Boys and girls. Mwah!